start with introducing the candidates. First of all, Johanna Meislinger, she's sitting here. She's former food technology engineer and also worked as flight operation inspector and currently working as a pilot and part-time studying medical studies. And besides that, she's also one of the candidates for the Jolanta Scholarship by Siemens. Then, on the right side, Anja Hofmann.
Hello, everybody.
She had studied aerospace engineering and have done her MBA in aviation management later on. She worked also as systems engineer and now is involved as aircraft engineer in the NATO organization program for the Eurofighter. On the right one there, Magdalena Pre. She also studied aerospace engineering and she had the chance in her studies, in her master's, to write her thesis at the about spacesuit EMU at the Institute of former astronaut Ulrich Wagner, Ulrich Walter, at the Technical University of Munich. And currently she is working as a space engineer in the control center, in the ground center for the Galileo project, the satellite project. At the DLR, just the German Aerospace Center. Yes. And now, last but not least, Susanne Peters, right next to me. She also studied aerospace engineering in Stuttgart with the major of construction and lightweight engineering. But she joined the space special space program at the International Space University and was also nominated for the Emilia Earhart Fellowship, which this fellowship wants to support women who is pursuing PhDs in aerospace. And right now she's working as a scientific research associate at the Federal Armed Forces University in Munich. All right, that's our candidates. First of all, I would just start with the common question, why do you apply for an astronaut? Maybe we'll just start with you, Ms. Peters.
Sure. So, well, I guess most of us at this, well, we were children and we liked space, so we kind of stayed in the area or liked flying. And from then on, it just developed. In 2008, when they chose GAVS, I was much too young to apply, but I always wanted to, go up there, experience something more than we can do on Earth. As I said yesterday, we can dive, we can walk, we can fly, but, experience gravity, like the loss of gravity, that's just like the fourth dimension. It's just something really special. Only 555 people have been in space so far. I want to be the number, one of the 500, let's say 60 until then. So, yeah, that's why I applied. I saw that's my real chance. And, well, I kind of fit into the whole profile, so there I am.
It's basically the same for me. When I was a little girl, when I was 3 years old, it was the first time that I said I want to be an aviator. I just wanted to soar the skies and even maybe shoot for the stars. I know it was big then, it's big now. And that is why I became a pilot in a very young age. And I've been flying commercially for 10 years now, but at the same time I became an engineer. And I always read the job description of astronauts everywhere in the world. At this point, you always have to be, you have to be born in the country who sends you to space. But I thought to myself, well, I'm 30 now, maybe a door opens sometime. And whenever I read the job description, it's you should be a pilot, you should be an engineer, and you should be a doctor. So I thought, okay. Then I go to med school, but not at the very first, because everybody told me it's impossible to work full-time and go to med school, and I thought, okay. So I got a spot at med school. I did not take it because I was scared I cannot do it. I'm a total failure if I can't make it. But 2 years later, I thought, no, if ever that window of opportunity opens to apply to be an astronaut, I want to be ready. And so I took, 2 years later, I took a spot at med school, and it has been easy. And everybody kept asking me, why are you doing all those things? And I said, I don't know, I just want to study. 2 years later, 3.5 years later, it all made perfect sense because Claudia Kessler announced the private initiative, and now everybody can see, yeah, sometimes you just have to try something and hope that someday a window opens. But it's still unlikely and too big of a dream. Yeah,
for me it was also always this fascination about space, and I think this is quite common. Many people feel like this, and but because of this, I decided to study airspace engineering, as you already introduced, and I focused on space technologies because I got this brilliant opportunity to do a traineeship at ESA, which was a really, enlightening experience there, to work there. However, I studied at the University of the Federal Armed Forces, so I was a technical aircraft officer. And I needed to finish this period first. And it was a good period. I worked as a Eurofighter engineer, so also a great experience. But I never gave up the plan to work in the field of space technology one day. So this was my dream. And the best I can imagine is, of course, being an astronaut in that field. So, and it came really in time. My commitment with the Air Force just ended. I finished my MBA studies in November last year. So it was really when I read about this application in March, it was perfect. So I felt like prepared, and for me, there was no thought about giving this chance up, just take it and try.
And my enthusiasm and interest about aircraft and spaceflight has also been existing since childhood. And my father was a hobby pilot, and so I had the chance to fly with him when I was very little. And so actually I started taking lessons also in a very young age and did my pilot's license still when I was in school. And this is actually where my motivation came from to study aerospace engineering. And during my master's degree, I specialized in space sciences. And so it's also why I wrote a master's thesis in that field and why I took the job at the Galileo Control Center in Oberpfaffenhofen. And for me, it would be also a dream come true if I would go to space one day.
Yeah. Right. What did your family or partner said or friends as you applied for this position?
So I remember I was in a train going to some workshop, which was actually about applications. And I'm not sure if it was my father or my husband sending me this message that they started this initiative, and so I really did in the train try to figure out, you know, how I use this workshop to be an astronaut and to become one of the chosen ones that get into the, you know, as the field grows smaller, you have to be able to, not fight, but, you know, make your way through. So, yeah, I used that time in the train, and then I was a little bit scared with, you know, there's 10 people you hardly know, they're from DLR, and like everyone knows what they want to do after their PhD, and you're like, yeah, you know, there's this astronaut, and everyone's like, sure. So I'm not sure if the lady there that did the workshop was really encouraged. Well, she tried her best. Let's put it this way, we did interviews and all this, but this is how it started, so I'm pretty sure my family and my partner, they do support that. Whenever I come home with the news, hey, I'm in the next round, they're like, oh, cool, good for you. So when is the next one? What are you doing next? So they're really interested. It's great to have their support.
Yeah, for me, it was amazing to realize how much energy my friends put in this. Like when I announced that I want to do this, it was like, oh my God, we have to do a video and we have to do this and that.
They already planned everything for you.
Yeah, they wrote a script, how to do the video, and it was, yeah, when I write a letter of application, another friend who's working in personal recruitment, she was like, oh, you have to send it to me, I have to read it and, you know, cross-read it, and everybody was like, and I was like, what? And really, those people put more energy in it than, I don't know, maybe the same amount of energy than I did in the application process. So it was, for me, it was amazing. This whole experience is better than anything.
Yeah, I guess this time my family, especially my parents, really thought she's crazy. And they are used to crazy ideas and the crazy ways I did, or unusual ways, like being an officer in the German Air Force. So, but this time I really think they thought now she's over-exaggerating herself. But they were always standing in my back and they are supporting me, and so it's good to have them here. And of course, they are not... Or there was an interview in a newspaper thing where one candidate, I don't know who it was, says, yeah, her mother's a little bit scared, and because it's dangerous, and of course it's a bit the same. The parents of everyone would be like that, and it's a bit the same, but of course, they hope that I'll make it.
Yeah, my parents are also very supportive and also proud that I'm even in that round now, and that's already such a big step, and they also couldn't believe it. And my boyfriend is also very enthusiastic about it. He's also an aerospace engineer, and he said, yeah, if you make it, you have to let me sit one time in a Soyuz capsule. I said, okay, if I make it, I can try to.
All right, that sounds really good. And but if you imagine that you get accepted, what would change in your life after that?
And if you imagine that you were
in space and came back, could you do your normal job again?
I was at this space university. I was able to meet Lee Soo-yang, the first female astronaut of South Korea. And she, their space agency did the whole process, not with the private, but with the private company, but with the space agency. And they did it more like Heidi Klum kind of thing. So everyone knew her afterwards, and it was not possible for her to find a decent job, like a normal job, because she was overqualified for everything. She actually had to move to America to, to get out of, all this people knowing her. I don't think we have to move to America because, I don't know, not everyone knows Alexander Gasp, I know, even though he is the current, really media-presented astronaut from Germany right now. But still, I think in Germany it's not that big thing. It's still big for technology people, but you know, if you see all the 83 million people, they're like, oh wait, okay. Space. It's just another technical thing. But for us, it will change, of course, because we are qualified for so many different things, and everything will change in life. So
maybe it's even doors that open that we cannot see now. So you just have to walk the way and see what happens.
Yeah, I think the most important and essential thing is really that you have to be aware that everything will change. And I think you can't foresee any changes that will come, but be prepared. And I think what is most important, this initiative tries to send the first German woman into space. So you really have to overtake this kind of responsibility to act like an ambassador, to motivate, like you all do maybe, others to go these technical ways for these MINT subjects, you know. And I think I think the main thing that you need to be aware that might be different from your current life, or the part that is most different.
Yeah, so as mentioned before, everything would change. I mean, the plan is that next year, in the middle of next year, the training would start. And then it takes for 2 years, actually, the astronaut training in Star City in Russia and in Houston, Texas. So it would mean a lot of traveling, of course. And yeah, as you said before, I mean, I also think that there are so many opportunities then coming up that we cannot know now. And
are there any questions for now?
Yeah, so this is actually a question directed to Susanna and Anya. I know you've been involved in sort of a military environment. I've personally applied for jobs in the Navy and the RAF back in the UK.
Okay.
And everyone tells me, you must be crazy. People might not take you seriously, you're a woman. And people actually tell me this. So have you overcome any problems while you were doing your office training or teaching the students? At the military university?
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Well, Of course, you have to, you know, show that you can do it the same, or at least that you try, because you might be not able, you know, to push all the others over a 2 meter wall. It won't be you. Maybe there will be, you know, a boy standing there. But if you do it all yourself, I think this gives you a self-confidence, and this makes the other accepting you. So yeah, if you really want that, I think this is the essential thing. You have to really want it. And even if you, you know, might fail here and there at the first try, if you are willing to do another try, it will, yeah, it will work. And at the moment, I work in a NATO organization together with people from the Royal Air Force, really close together. And I can tell you that one, and he's really very, he's a critic person, he's very critical towards others, he said his best boss he had ever was a woman. So maybe this helps you.
Yeah.
So I would totally agree, just so show self-confidence, because at the first they might think, oh well, I'm just saying just a woman, that's the usual thought, but well, you just overcome it by be yourself and be self-confident, and you just show them that you are better. You are at least the same. You're not just a woman. You can stand your own there.
Maybe this goes a bit in the same direction of a discussion we had yesterday on leadership and young leadership, and if women have to be brave, if it needs courage to be a leader. And I think it's not so much about courage, it's about self-confidence. And if you go the step, if you apply for this job, and if you start studying really a difficult job subject, because, you know, engineering is not an easy way. If you want to have it easy, you go for something else. Then you already demonstrated that you want something, and yeah, you were brave already, I think, to go the step.
It will also be helpful to ask others to look for help, because you will come into trouble at some point. There will be problems on your way, and talking to other people, see what their problems in life are. That's one of the reasons I love to go to those workshops, because I'm a PhD student, I have troubles all the time, and then I see all those other PhD students and their trouble. I don't want to have their trouble. I'm so happy afterwards, every time. So that's what you need to do. Just don't be by yourself. Be self-confident, but also get the experience from everyone else.
Like, how many more steps are there for you to take until you take off?
It's really interesting, the program, because I think they do it themselves the first time, so they haven't done this before. Of course, you would have heard of it. They tell us whenever the next step is and what to do, and we are now, like, it started with 408 people that applied, and then it got down to 120 from those application in the video, and from there we had to fill in a medical questionnaire, and so yeah, what our daily life has, and from there we got down to 86, which that's the phase we are now. We go now through the psychology test, which is separated into two groups. So I was already at the psychology test, and you three will have your psychology test on Wednesday.
We are looking forward already very much.
So, and from there they say 30 make it to the next round, which will be in January, mid of January. From it's going to be a physiology test. And from that on, 10 will be chosen to be presented to the public and got looked in, like, on different fields, like not only being an astronaut, but from the media point of view, how well can you be an ambassador, be a role model, because that's also something they want to promote. They don't want to only have the first female in space, they also want to encourage young women to keep studying or decide in the first place to become an engineer or become something in the STEAM field, because that's a really important thing for us to do. Oh, and from those 10, they choose 2, and those 2 will go through the whole training, and from those 2, 1 will be sent into space, and the other one is the redundant part, the first astronaut.
Yes.
I don't know, breaks a leg or something.
But there's one issue with it. It's not a normal, you know, application, like an ESA application. It's really initiated via, privately initiated from AG Space CEO Claudia Kessler, who was very brave to do it, because I think so many people told her this won't work. And right now, what is really a good thing, and from my point of view, is that we now are kind of transferred into the selection process that is the official selection process of ESA. So we are really, this test at the DLR is the official test, so this, I think, makes it very neutral and, you know, objective. And it's really good because in the end, you know, these 10 who will be left are really qualified. It's not like, you know, just a subjective impression or if you can present yourself. So this is very good, but the disadvantage, this is the official part of the application, but it's not an official, you know, job application, and therefore it needs to be funded somehow. So yeah, it will work via sponsorship hopefully and crowdfunding, but it's not secured right now. So this is also something that we all of us need to keep in mind. Yeah.
So it's not sure that there will actually be a female astronaut in 2020 because funding isn't secured yet.
What would be the next step if you would be the candidate, but the second one and didn't have the chance to apply?
So my plan B, yes. C and D. And
I mean, what would you feel like if you are just the second one and don't have the chance to fly, although you have through all this training? Which is definitely not
for me. And as Johanna already said, this experience to meet all those women, and we are kind of, she said, the same building, really the same wavelength. So it's great to meet all those women that are interested in the same area. And, you know, going through the whole process, for me, it's already amazing. It's just an experience I really don't want to miss. Being the second astronaut, you go through even more, so it's just going to be very, very amazing.
Yeah, it's just, I see it the same way. You can only win even if you're the second one. I don't see the loss in it. Yeah. Because, okay, maybe you're the second one, you don't get to go on this flight. But who knows what happens?
Done the training.
We can't foresee this. Yes. And. Even if maybe this is the last round, I'm sticking around. The way I see it, I haven't lost. I just gained experience and won it. You never know. I mean, who of us would have thought that this initiative could happen? For me, this was like, what? This is so crazy. If somebody told me that there is one person, Claudia Kessler, who launches this, I would have said, never ever, come on. It's like a fairy tale, but it's happening, and it's happening in Germany. Yeah. Germany, I don't believe it's a country where all those people are up for private initiatives. It's
or even though up for space.
Yeah. So this is already a fairy tale.
Yeah, for me it's also a bit the same as for, I think, both of you. It's such a contribution to your life, even if you are then the second. And I mean, you have to be in this situation then to really feel, and it will be, of course, disappointing, but until then, you gain so much experience and knowledge, and this would be really the best thing I can imagine, even if I'm the second then. And yeah, and already, until now, it really was a contribution to my life. I guess, I hope it brought me closer to space, to the field of space technology, and every event we had so far, so we met all together in Berlin to a big media event, is also a new experience to, you know, stand in front of other people, to meet other people who, as Susanne said, share the same enthusiasm about a subject, and and also this event now was really so nice as an evening to meet all of you, and yeah. So it's already contributing every day.
Yeah, I also see it the same way. I mean, only doing the training, like traveling a lot and doing, I don't know, diving exercises, doing the training in the centrifuge, going flying, and I mean, being in the spacesuit and try all these exercises and train, I don't know how to maintain the ISS and everything. I mean, I would be so looking forward to that, that I also would see it already as winning. I mean, if you win 1 million in the lottery, you're not jealous of someone who wins 2 millions. I mean, that's actually the feeling I have.
That's the point, right?
Yeah. Can you talk about the most important skill that you learned on your journey till now? On this application journey?
Yeah, I think being yourself is always the most important thing. Also in this astronaut selection, I mean, yeah, being an astronaut has so many different aspects. And yeah, I think only with being yourself, you're authentic and you can do what is required.
It's not really a skill, it's also an experience, so be open-minded. It was so interesting to see what others do, and I think this is also, yeah, really a great experience. Yeah.
Well, maybe it's not only during this application process, but during my whole career, I realized how important it is to have a support team and to ask for help and to tell people. And I always was a person who stuck to myself and never talked about my goals or my dreams or whatever. But this, maybe in the last years, but also during this initiative, I really opened up and started talking about my dreams. And I was astonished how people reacted to it. They were all like, they didn't say, "Oh my God, you're crazy." They said, "Wow, how can we help you?" And that's been really, really a good thing. And I should have started asking for help sooner in my life and get a real good support team. And I have a great mentor, and I can just give this piece of advice: get a support team and find your people, because you cannot do it alone. And even if it's just a phone call and you say, "Oh my God, I'm nervous, I have to do this interview," calm down, you can do it. You know, even if it's just this. Yeah.
So, yeah, learning a skill is just a short time right now. So, but yeah, I totally support Johanna on definitely asking others, telling about your dream. That's also something I learned in the space studies program. Is just, you know, there were a few people, there were a lot, some people that said, "I want to be an astronaut, of course," and I go my way and I look into what does an astronaut need. And yeah, you gather all your skills together and you apply if that window opens for you. And by talking about it, people are aware of that, and they give you hints what else you can do and what you might not want to do. And yeah, just, yeah, be open-minded, talk about it.
Hi, so it seems like you guys have already had a really successful career. You've already achieved so much even before this astronauts initiative. Growing up, did you have any role models who were women or men? And do you feel like, I don't know, you had any family members who are in science or engineering and they inspired you perhaps?
Yeah, for me also, my parents were very inspiring. I mean, they didn't study engineering, but they actually went to law school, both of them. And what I decided to do is something completely different. But yeah, I feel that they always gave me the support I needed. And so actually they were my role models in that field.
Yeah, in my family there's no one with academic background so far. So, but I think this is also not important. Although it was not so supportive that they say, "Okay, study is no problem, we will pay for this," because this was something new. And but yeah, my parents are role models because I think they did a great job. And my father, he's really, I don't know how to say, he's out of tough stock. You know, and he is really, he goes straight if he decided to go for one way. And I think this is something that really, yeah, that was really, yeah, a good role model for me to do it the same way. Never give up and yeah, go on.
When I was a kid, I was always very fond of Bob Hoover. He's a World War pilot, and there's a saying, nobody rolls like Hoover, because he was a really great aerobatics pilot, and I always wanted to roll an airplane like he does. Of course I cannot, but I'm still working on it. So I got my aerobatics license, and I love dancing in the skies. For me, it's like ballet, and the beauty in it, in figuring out a way of putting art and engineering together, that has been a big part for me. Also, when I was a kid, I always wanted to see the beauty in things, how things work. And for me especially, it was Bob Hoover. He just died a few days ago, and I was really sad because nobody rolls like Bob Hoover. You have to watch a video on YouTube, Bob Hoover.
So for me, it's difficult to say, to pick one role model, because as soon as you get interested in one person specific, you feel that, okay, but there's this league, and then there's this league. So I kind of looked into different behaviors of people or different characteristics that I liked, and I thought, I want to do that, and I want to be like that. And I look at this person, this is amazing how he talks, or how she's with people, or how he always sees the bright side of everything. So I kind of took their characteristic and tried to adapt to that. Because, yeah, one thing, one skill, that's the question for one skill is really difficult to answer, because as an astronaut, you don't have just one skill. It's the whole package you need. You need to be very, intelligent, you need to be physical fit, you play an instrument, better you're good in everything. You don't have to be the expert of everything, but be skilled in most of the things. That's kind of the whole package that you should bring.
I am an industrial engineer working in pharmaceutical industries for 5 years. I was really interested in this field, but when I worked, I see that pharmacists are taking the management like positions. So I really was disappointed, and when I decided to change this field, it's like how you would after 5 years change your position or change other field. And I really want to ask you about your experience and about your behavior in this case to change the from one field to another.
So you want to change your career?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have an idea what you want to do?
I was in quality assurance. It is interesting, but I think medical industries are for also pharmacists or people studying medical rather than people studying engineering.
Apparently you don't really like what you're doing right now, or you don't like it anymore because it becomes too boring and
it
becomes too...
It's not evolving.
Yeah, so, yeah, I would, of course, always shoot for the stars. So why not try something else? Why not change your life? You're like very young. There's still such a wide open field for you. You don't have to do what you're doing right now for the rest of your life. That would be really boring.
I do have several careers, and some of them at the same time. And for me, the first and most important thing is always what is my goal, and really figuring that out. I think that's a very, very hard part, to really know what is my goal, and then make a goal plan. And don't make it on your own, but ask people around you. Maybe not only from your profession, but to get different views, ask different people, and maybe not even your family, because they are too close and they love you too much, to be honest. And once you have that goal plan, just follow it. And if you realize, okay, it's not working at all, then adjust it. But initially, even go through the really hard part, because when you change career or do something new, people look at you, oh, why is she doing that? Why was she bored? Maybe they cannot capture your passion or your dreams, but you always have to know, once you know your goal and you really wrote it down, the two biggest forces passion and your dreams, they come in play. But if you don't write it down, you might even forget about it. I mean, the biggest engine we have to dedicate ourselves to a job is our passion. And if you always have it written down in front of your, I don't know, put it on the fridge or whatever, it enables you to follow all the steps that are so hard to make a new good career for yourself. That's the first thing. And the second thing is find a mentor. It needn't be from your field of expertise, but find someone. Maybe it would be good if that person was at least 20 years older than you, and ask for help. Ever since I have my mentor, a lot of things changed, because he's very fatherly, but not in this loving way of, oh, you're my daughter, you can't do anything because you're my daughter and I love you so much, but in a very very good fatherly way. So or maybe you even find a woman. I was unable to find a woman because there's so little out there. Yeah, so find your goal, write it down, get a mentor.
And I also know someone who studied science and completely changed his field and started again, I mean, after working for 5 years in science and studied psychology. And also, I mean, the most important thing, as you said, is having this passion and to really love what you do, and then you will be always good at it. And so I can only encourage to do just what you like.
From my opinion, what will really help you is produce yourself a worst case scenario. What can happen? I don't know you too much to assess it, but it sounds also, all the things sounds quite good. You have 5 years of work experience. So what can happen worst case? I don't know if you need further educational experience, if you have to do some studies to change the field. If not, you can really, it's as easy as that, try and maybe go back to your old job. And yeah, and maybe there are more factors. So this was just an easy view that I have right now. It's, of course, it's not as easy as it is, but really, if you really make yourself aware of the worst case scenario, what can happen in the worst case, if it does not work, then it maybe will help you to do the step. And if you feel the need in yourself inside to change, you know, change your profession or go a bit in another direction in your professional life, there is no way out. You have to do it because it will not stop. So anyway.
Yeah. And all that should go in your detailed written down goal plan. Really, write it down. It's important.
Yeah, because I met also Tina Miller. She was working in cosmetic and she changed to car industry to open. And in this, because people are always saying to me, why you change? It's a risk. You have to be careful. And it's not me. I want to take this risk. And I want to see people who have already taken this risk.
And you just have to be brave to find the passion.
Thank you.
First thing I want to say that it's really inspiring to listen to you, because you know, there are still these prejudices that even if a woman can do some technical stuff, then at least she's not attractive. So that's my experience. So I recently got my diploma degree, like the certificate, and it was all like a nice big thing, and I bought like a very nice dress, and then I entered. The boy at the entrance, because he was the one to show everyone his place, so he asked the people for their name. So he asked me like, okay, so what's your boyfriend's name? And I'm kind of angry. But then I afterwards started to think about whether if you do this, like, consider to be mean stuff. If you have to like struggle with your position as a woman, or if it's like why people can't see that it can go very well together, actually. So because you did very tough stuff, I believe, maybe more than I did. So did you ever have this feeling of I don't know, maybe not being woman enough or not concentrating enough on your role as a woman. I don't know how to explain.
Well, for me, at the beginning, it was sometimes really tough, and I was even close to tears because, for example, I remember a situation where we had some training, some flight training on a simulator, and there was the examiner, and he came to me, he took me by my hand and threw me against the wall, and he said, "This is not a female job, and if you want to succeed here, you have to be 10 times better than the guy next to you." And I thought that's just some test or something, but then we ended the training and it was exactly like this. And for the next 5 days, each 4 hours, he was really, it was crueling, and I was like, oh my God, I'm close to tears. And that kind of rejection, not towards your performance, but towards you as a woman, that was really hard for me because it's just pure pain. It's a painful emotion because they don't say you perform better or something. They tell you your performance is excellent. We just don't like you as a woman. Maybe sometimes it's more subtle than this. But I think what would be really helpful is if you were prepared for that and if you just realize in your conscious mind, this is just the world we're in right now and we can change it in changing role models. We need fixed proportions of women in all kinds of, just a door opener. It doesn't mean, it's just a door opener, and we need better childcare and we need other models of working. And I think it's on us to change that. It's on how we raise our children. And I think we have to turn this fear of rejection or this whatever feeling arises, like maybe even aggression or I don't know, we have to change it in something that we see, okay, that is just an emotion, it's a feeling, first of all, it's just a thought, it's not reality. If that guy makes me feel bad, it's an emotion, it's not real. I can turn this firepower, I call it firepower, into something productive. I can make something creative out of it, and I can build some courage out of it. And then, wow, it's a great thing, we live in time where we can change it. So maybe put it this way, just for yourself and your conscious mind, and then it's easier. At least for me, it was like this.
Just, you asked about, did I ever not feel like being womanly enough? So I actually never asked that myself, because I didn't ever want to fit into this role of being female. And this is what they say, you can't do it because you're a girl. No one ever told me that when I was little. So I first encountered this when I was in Stuttgart. I grew up in close to Potsdam. So I was in Stuttgart, I met the first females that actually had to fight with this. And I'm like, wow, what happens in the western part of Germany? I totally didn't understand that. And lucky me, I was already self-confident enough to, yeah, just not adopt this idea that I have to behave like a woman and do this because I'm a woman. I just did whatever I liked. I kept on doing Taekwondo since I'm 10, so I guess this gave me more self-confidence as well. And yeah, just kept on going with my life. Even if someone said to me in groups like, hey, you only get this because you're a woman, you're like, don't be jealous. I mean, no, I know I didn't get it because I'm a woman. I know I got it because I'm good, and I'm probably better than you, that's why you didn't get it.
Yeah.
Don't be jealous and don't put your envy on me. So.
Yeah, I also heard during my study similar stuff like, yeah, you only got this job at Airbus because you're a woman, da da da.
And
I mean, said only some colleagues, some male students said that, and I also knew, okay, it's not true. I mean, I know that I just got it myself by applying as usual, and I mean, yeah, you need courage and self-confidence to look over this. But I mean, now at my job, honestly, we have 30 to 40% of women, and that's very already a good quote, I would say. And so I think this is going in a good direction, and there are a lot of female women who also don't question themselves. I mean, that and question if they are female enough because it's just normal. And that's actually a thing where everywhere it should be just normal, and no one should have to ask themselves these questions.
Yeah, I totally agree with you that it's really like if you are better, you got it because you're better, not because you're a woman or not because you gave up being a woman, whatever. I think the quota, the percentage in the military environment is a bit lower. So this was maybe a bit different, but what really helped me to your question of this prejudice of being, like looking still like a woman was, I worked in a clothes store during my school time, and this helped me staying, like being interested in clothes and don't give up with being a woman. So if you want to see it just on a surface and not inside, and if you're gay, if you want to achieve to be accepted, it's more about I'm at least as good as you and not about a role, I guess.
And maybe we lost a little bit the humor and the ironic free way in interacting with each other. I have the feeling that it's there's so much people are often scared about just being ironic with each other, I mean female and male together, and maybe we should just have a little more humor in all in the way we act and in the way we just see each other eye to eye. Maybe that's not only a thing that men have to give us, but maybe we also have to give them a little bit more of being free, ironic, and full of humor. I don't know. At least that is my feeling.
Okay. Other questions?
Perhaps, is it already clear what kind of a mission this will be? Or is this like just... Because I think they plan a lot in forward.
Yeah, I mean, it should be a mission where some experiments planned from a professor at the Charité Clinic in Berlin should be prepared about like testing hormones in the female body, and also DLR, I think, wants to contribute some experiments.
So you'll be busy up there. You are going to be a space tourist, but you still do experiments, you do outreach, you're going to do your video. I'm not sure if you're supposed to sing, but...
I'm not.
And do those, it's one of the parts of the initiative is to investigate the female body in space, because there has not been that many females in space. Not only Germany didn't send too many out, also the other countries kind of, rejected to send females up. So they want to investigate, especially looking for the long run, if we ever want to go to Mars or build a stage or the village on the moon. We need to know how the body behaves in low gravity and with more exposure to the sun, to radiation. So this is all going to be investigated within those 10 days.
And as mentioned before, still sponsorship is requested. So I guess if some company is interested to join, this mission and with an experiment, it's also possible, I guess. And the mission duration is planned to be 10 days.
This is like a less serious question. I don't know how much you're allowed to disclose, but have you been asked anything really weird or funny or discovered anything about yourself during this application process? Because I imagine they'll ask you psychological questions and how you behave generally in life. Did you find anything weird about it?
Answering yes, but yes, of course, we had to assign a disclosure. Okay. So,
but you did find, did you, or did you not find out?
So there was one specific question I found really weird, and the other one were just like, okay, if they really want to know that.
They know everything about us, really everything.
What about women engineering and becoming a mother or a wife? Have you any experience or not yet?
Unfortunately, not yet. Sorry. I can't tell you.
Because to succeed, even both your job as an engineer and manage and deal with your family as a
we all don't have children, as I take it. but during this selection process, I was lucky enough to meet some that have children, and you have to have a supportive partner and a supportive family behind you. Otherwise, you cannot travel for 2 years to Houston and to the Star City and to go all over the world and do all this outreach and to be an ambassador. So you have to be aware that you are going to be away for a long time, and you only over Skype you can talk to your children in America. They do have, I forgot the name, but they see their children over a screen and they try to teach them. Of course, the children only take it at a specific level. You have to be aware that this will, would not, you won't be involved as much in the growth in those, within those 3 years. But yeah, of course, your partner should be supportive. If your partner is the one that says, you know, honey, I don't want you to go to Star City, I need you to, what am I supposed to eat at home? You know,
it sounds interesting first, but now, as it gets closer,
then it's the wrong partner, really. If you have a choice, and we are lucky enough to find the right partner, then yeah, choose for the one that supports you and not the one that needs you in every part of life.
But I guess in principle, independent of this initiative, it's really, you must be an organizational genius to do all of this. And I really admire these women. They do a great job.
They are the ones that are already children and full-time workers as well. Yeah, they are doing a wonderful, great job.
I think it's a challenge for a woman.
Yeah, and I think if you really, you need this kind of fascination for, doesn't matter which job it is, to really go ahead, and you really have to want it. And this is also to your last question. If you have this need in your mind, and you know, inside yourself, to change your job, your field of application, profession, then you have to do it.
Yes.
And this will drive you also through, you know, these difficulties like managing family, but this will drive you then and help you.
What working mothers keep telling me is once they stopped thinking about, is it possible, and they just had their babies, everything just fell in place and it worked. So maybe the baby thing is something you just have to do and then you figure it out. At least that is what the mothers tell me. Because you make plans and the babies, they change all the plans. And yeah, that's what those women tell me. Just do it.
And there's another thing, I talked to another woman yesterday and she also said, write it down. So when you have a child and you still think straight, write down, I want to go back to work. Because once you stop working and you get all this support, you kind of fell into this, this is actually really comfortable, I want to stay this way, and no one blames me for staying here, then put out your piece of paper where you said, go back to work now. And then, yes, because then you were thinking straight, and you do it for yourself. After 18 years, your children are out of school, what do you do with your life? There's nothing, you can still care for your children, but what has happened to you within those 8 years? Don't forget yourself.
I think it's also important to have a job that you're passionate about, to let your children at home and to go there. And if you have a job where you were thinking before having children, maybe I should quit, I think the decision would come quickly that you quit your job. And it will not depend on your children.
And I think that as a child, I mean, I know, I remember when the parents are passionate about what they do. I mean, that's a lot what they are giving a child as well. I mean, that's also one important point. So they are a role model by working passionate. And when you learn this as a child, that you should be passionate about it, I think it's a lot to win.
Well, I have a question. Johanna, you mentioned a lot of times to find a mentor should be one of the top tasks. Can you give us a hint to find a good mentor? Or where to look for a mentor?
I have three mentors from different fields. One is a professor of my university. One is head of systems engineering at Siemens. And one is a psychologist, and I don't know, I just met these people, I thought we're kind of the same frequency, and I admire their work, and I had a feeling that if those people tell me something really criticize me or something really, you know, that is hard that you don't want to see because, oh, really, I do have this blind spot, that it would be okay for me to accept it. Because that these things you cannot accept from your boss or from, because then it hurts. So it has to be kind of a neutral person. And I just ask them if it can meet on a regular basis. So for me it was, do I admire them? Or at least, yeah, do I admire them? And am I willing to take the criticism? And especially with the psychologist, working on your personal, it's all career. It's, yeah, it's been sometimes really hard. Yeah, because I think when you're, I've been working in a men's field for more than 10 years, you have to be careful to not change, because of course it does change you. And there was a tendency for me, for example, to be a little bit harsher than I am actually. And he told me, be careful, because that is not you, and yeah, things like that. It's really helpful, but you have to be willing to do that, because it's not easy.
Okay. So how did you meet them?
Yeah, well, one of them was a colleague I worked with, but when I asked him, we weren't colleagues anymore. One of them was my professors, and the other I met in the high potential program in Siemens. So I think you can meet your mentor anywhere. It can be from a completely different field. It's about different things. It's not about a specific project. It's more the big picture. Yeah.
Sarah, just another question. You've now become like role models for young women, and I suppose older women too, around Germany. If you were working for the government as an officer, you had to improve gender equality in an engineering science working environment, what would be the first step for you? What would be your first idea into how to improve the gender equality?
This is not an easy question.
Well, for me, I would first gather a team and ask, what is the situation right now? I mean, what is it really? I mean, because it's different if you're just experiencing it as an individual, or if you're right there knowing what programs are there, what kind of help is there. So I would just get to know the baseline, because from my point of view, I don't think I really have the baseline from what is needed, and also what do the companies need out there.
I believe you have to start one step before, encourage more people to join this job. Then you don't have this, you know, it's not balanced at the moment, and this encourage all this discussion. So, you know, like people or women are misunderstood or are treated in a different way. As you told yesterday, if you join a meeting, then they always say, yeah, good morning, lady and gentleman, you know, these. If you have a balance in every field, and if you go to a hairdresser and they're only women, it's also not a good, you know, balance. Then I think it will solve problem by nature.
And apart from encouraging women, I mean, I often heard that especially smaller companies have problems hiring women, because if they get pregnant, I mean, they just cannot afford it, and so they always choose men. And so I would work for the state to really, for the government to spend more money on these companies so that they easily can afford hiring also women.
So as I see, the question was, you are one of the politics, so you can actually change things, right?
Yeah.
You think you can? So yeah, of course you need to get first all the information you can get. So what's already out there? How are people already encouraged? So can you contribute with your ideas, or is that idea already out there and
needs more support. And so, as I said yesterday already, that when you're younger, you don't feel the need for a quote, because you think, well, yeah, I'm equal, I'm still in the line, do things better, and at some point you just hit this this glass ceiling where you just don't get hired. You don't know why, because you are still better, but you know, for some reason they don't take you. And this is when when I would support a quote to say, well, we have to break the ceiling. It will hurt for some time. I had some colleagues complaining that, oh, I didn't get this job because I was a male. I'm like, sorry, you were supported the last 30 years. Now it's our turn. I know it's a little bit over the top, but only by, you know, shooting over the top, we might find a level where we all can agree on, where we all can live on, and when it finally comes normal that there is 30% women, and that you don't have to be greeted to be the only woman in the room where you think, yeah, but that's obvious. Why do you have to say that? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I guess the quote, I actually am in for it, and we have to deal with this male complaining that that there's no equality anymore. It's like, yeah, sorry, but now it's our turn for some time, and I think that's how it will level at the end.
At the age of 16, 17, what steps did you take to pursue your dream?
Yeah, for me it was exactly the time when I did my motor license for aircraft. And that's actually, yeah, what I really did, because I just wanted to go in that field and I liked it so much.
There wasn't a really essential step, but I at least decided to major on math at school. yeah. And not history or something like this. Yeah.
I really took 2 years' time to figure out what is even out there, what kind of universities in all different kinds of countries, and what do I need to get in. If, let's say, I want to join a college in Princeton, what do I need? I want to study in Berlin, what do I need? So I really knew what is required, and then I said, okay, I could imagine to do these three things on these three specific places. And I just thought, wow, now I have another 1.5 years time. Okay, I need to get an English test and I need to have at least 500 points or whatever. So I would be ready at that time. So I just figured out what is needed to follow the dream and started learning on it.
So 16 is a very interesting age because you are able to choose things, and I also went for mathematics and physics courses, and I have to say there were only males, even though I was the only female in my physics class. There were 8 guys, and I really didn't care. I was like, well, so I'm still, I think, the second best, so it was good enough for me. And I didn't see the point of not joining this group. And then I got involved into like Girls Day and looking out for universities, what I may want to study. And I encountered aerospace engineering, that's space, okay, definitely going to study that. 2 years later, after my high school, I actually thought, well, so you always worked to do this, and I joined mathematics, Olympics, and you know, all this stuff you do is as interested in this topic. And with 18, I thought, well, is that really what I want to do? And I went a year away to figure out what I want, or if I still want to do it after a year. And I came back and said, well, yeah, that's it. I saw the stars in Alice Springs, and yes, still want to do it. And this is when I actually decided I want to walk on this path.
Thank you.
Maybe one last question. Do you have questions for the audience, for some?
I would like to thank you for your interest. It was really amazing. You know, it's Sunday, it's lunchtime. And maybe you joined already an interesting program this morning. And I think it's really, really good that we are not just women here in this room. So thank you for your interest, because it makes no sense to discuss this topic, you know, gender topics and being only women altogether.
I would like to know, because you look really young, what are your dreams? What do you want to be?
It's difficult because I'm 16 years old and it's really difficult to just find a field even. because I'm concentrating on medicine, on techniques, and there's just economics. And every time I start to explore the fields, I recognize that there are parts I don't really like about it. Because if you meet someone from the technical field, you start thinking, okay, this person is boring, so probably this field is boring too. So that's really struggling. And right now I'm just trying to explore everything and to connect my the things I experience to my logical thinking, because not everything is the way I experience it. So yes.
Yeah, for me it's the same. So I'm also 16 years old and I'm very interested in everything. But it's not like I find a field and I'm interested in it and then I find out that the people doing this are boring. I always find the positive sides about this thing. And so I went to kindergarten for 1 week and I thought, oh my gosh, it's amazing to work with childs, but do I want to do this all day? Do I want to do this every day? But they are so nice. And then I went to Bosch and worked there also for a week, and I was like, oh, that's also so amazing. And I have more advantages. I can do more. I earn more money. I could. I have much more possibilities. But it's also nice. And then in school, you have to decide. And I have very wide. Course, I have a wide course. I do physics, but I also do political. Course. I think it's very important to be open-minded until the point you have to decide. But it's so hard to look at everything you are possible to do and. That's my big problem. I don't want to close my eyes to anything. Yeah, that's very hard.
Maybe just free yourself. Yeah. The idea that you can do only one thing.
Yeah, I know that. But
I know so many people who study two or three things at the same time. During their studies, they have a startup. It gets super successful. Yeah. They get to go to the MIT, to whatever. So maybe just free yourself. Start somewhere, which is something you like. The path itself opens up.
Yeah.
So just because I think that's a huge problem nowadays, that we think we have to know how our life should look like when we're like 18. How can you know what your life should be like when you're 18? Just try something and finish and then do something else, or do it at the same time. Just open your mind for all those possibilities, because you can.
Yeah, and always when you do something, you will have doubts. I mean, I think all of us, we already had situations where we thought, oh my God, why am I doing this? I mean, these situations will always come. And also a friend who studied this and that, and everyone is getting some troubles on the way. And so, but at some point, you just have to also just keep on going and still stay open-minded, yeah.
It's really so cool that both of you are interested in so many things. You're open-minded, this is a good thing. Don't see it as a disadvantage. Now maybe it does not help you to take a decision, but it makes you a better personality if you're interested. You know, you told me that you do something in a kindergarten, it's very social related, and then do a traineeship at Bosch, and you like both, so this is really a contribution to you, and yeah. Maybe you then have to decide, okay, if I go, for example, like the engineering way, it won't be an easy way, it won't be a golden way, but there's a target in the end. Or if you say, okay, I rather want to be, socially involved, and this is what makes me up. And you can always decide in a professional way others, but let everything around you still happen. You don't have to give up your social life or think socially, although you are an engineer and based on, technical issues every day.
I just wanted to add that nowadays we got these possibilities to explore it. Because we are students and we are building robots together. We take part in some robotic competitions. And such situations, they weren't common years ago. We are used to it being influenced by a lot of things. We are used to it. And as a woman, I don't feel excluded from something. I don't feel like I'm disadvantaged in engineering or other things. And that's, I think, it's making it more difficult to decide, because you don't feel some
how do you call it?
Discrimination.
Yes, yes, you don't feel it. It's you're an open-minded young person, and we can head everywhere. We can study in San Francisco, we can study in Germany. It's you don't have something you can, you don't have a path you can go. It's just everything is so wide open. That's a problem too.
That's a problem. I had this problem when I came back from Australia as well. I was like, wow, so I have this huge book, everything I can study. You know, I like this aerospace engineering thing a lot. So, well, there were only 5 universities to choose from, and the other choice I had was economics engineering, and this list was that long, so I kind of picked all these 5 things. I applied for every of those universities, hoped to get one bad idea back. I got accepted by all of them, so I'm like, I have to choose. So I actually phone called a friend of mine whose brother studied in Stuttgart, and he gave me this personal advice, so that's where I went. And I also wanted to tell you about a friend of mine. She always liked biology, but she knew she couldn't gain money with it, or you know, you have to be a scientist to be successful in biology. So she started studying biology including informatics. And suddenly she felt, wow, informatics, that's so cool. Now she's only on the informatics path and she's writing her master's thesis. So ways open up while you walk your way, definitely. What about the other two?
Mm-hmm. I mean, so I want to be a doctor and make research, but I don't really know yet. I'm really open.
Are you a medical doctor?
Yeah.
Yeah, so about me, what? I'm not really sure, but I'd like to do some, to make things just like, you know, see some product at the end, not just some paper or something black and white or just figures or something. I want something to hold in my hands, kind of. So I'd like to go into engineering. I haven't really figured out what kind of, but yeah, so that's kind of what's in my head right now.
Do you want to do small things or big things? Like, I don't know.
I don't know. It doesn't really matter.
You just want to hold this. Like, research would not be wrong.
No. Like, I could also imagine going to computer science, because in the end you can't hold it, but it's a product, kind of. You can use it, you can see it. And, but I need this kind of thing to see.
And I saw you, Robert. It's really amazing.
Cool. Yeah, just don't allow anyone to tell you what is possible, because you can make your own job. Maybe the job you have is not even created yet. Maybe you have to create the job that you want. It's possible.
I think that were great words at the end, and our time run out. Yes, 15 minutes late, actually. I want to thank you. I've been really inspired by this talk. I hope you will so too. And that's all. Thanks for that.